This is the Dan and Christy podcast.
Dan and Christy.
Macca's new surprise prize. Peel any medium or large fries for a chance to find a prize.
But I thought we'd talk TV themes because this morning I just started randomly singing my favourite TV theme of all time. And we all started joining in, didn't we?
We did, like all good duos.
Like Tina Yobbers, you know? Like Justine Bateman.
Michael J. Fox, the greatest show ever, Family Ties. You remember the show Family Ties? You know,
Meredith
you do. Are you singing
Burnie?
This with us?
Mm. Sha-la-la-la.
So, look, Dan and I are not normal people, which you can probably tell from listening to Dan and Christy.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
We just started randomly singing that together at some ungodly hour, and I think that's what happens here at a hit. We're in at work so early, so we have fun. Mm. So we thought we should do on the show the best theme songs. Family Ties was one of them, and we just started talking about just the great theme songs of all time. And I'm going to be honest, they're better than today. Today, you don't even really see opening credits.
No, you don't. You remember this one? David Hasselhoff.
I'm sure you remember
Buchanan.
It.
CJ, oh geez, Pamela Anderson. Tell you what, a young man really did like Baywatch, the most popular show in the world. I did like the Miami Vice theme though. Like this one's pretty cool. That kind of gets you in the mood to go to Miami on a beach too. Don't you think? Hey, with a mustache and a mullet and a really high visible shirt.
Are your favourite themes like beach songs? Have you got any others?
I do like the Cake by the Ocean. Actually, but I do. It's not even from a TV thing. I do like the Fresh Prince theme. Like, we do play this on R&B Friday. You don't want to get slapped in the face by this guy.
Yeah, just don't go near him. But this was a really cool song.
And everyone knows the lyrics to that song, too. Really good TV show. Very funny, too.
I think what the good thing about a theme song is, it always got you in the mood to stay and watch the show. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you heard that song from an opening theme song of your favourite TV show, that's when you go, oh, it's starting. Like, we've got to go and sit down now. It's beginning. And the next generation, they don't know what that's
never
like.
Get that.
Because they have streaming on demand. No, yeah. Of course not. But there was
usually
really
go
fun
for, like,
memories.
3 minutes, too, sometimes.
You're it like, would go okay, for 3 minutes.
Oh, are we talking about the TV theme or are we talking about me off air? But our producer Maddie came up with the best one. Your favourite ever is The Golden Girls.
It's such a classic.
Yeah.
It's like the sound of a hug.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh.
Me and my mates, we just belt this one out every time there's a few bevies. This one comes out.
Do you?
Yeah, okay. We'll remember that, producer Maddie.
We miss Betty White too.
No, we do. It was nice. So you're right, Maddie. This was the sound of a hug. It was a nice, wholesome, very funny show with very talented women on that show. My mum, Mama Deb, loved it.
Mm.
She'd love you, producer Maddie.
Of course.
She'd want you to be her child instead of me.
Mm.
But also we had some other ones as well, didn't we? Like, for instance, I loved The Wonder Years. That was always one of my favourites.
Oh, yeah. I definitely don't have a grab of that, so thank you. I mean, I can write it down. What was it? Joe Cocker?
That's all right. Now, it's not going to be
Let
the same kind
it.
Of thing. If
well,
we
I
do
like
it
if we're going to do
Google
it, I can
it.
Still in sing one. The old DuckTales theme song.
The
DuckTales. Oh, my God, yeah.
You're welcome.
Did you get it?
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah, I'll write it.
I think that's the wrong one. There we go.
Baywatch. That's Baywatch.
I finally got it.
Yeah, we got it. This is The Wonder Years. Remember
The Wonder Years. Yeah.
It's an old show, but God, it was good. And it's such a good song, too.
Oh, yeah. Joe Cocker. What a voice. What a man. What a legend. This is what we're asking. 131060. The best TV themes out there. Beck from Claremont, what do you reckon the best TV theme is?
The Love Boat.
Oh, yes, The Love Boat. Oh, man, I've got to play this.
Come aboard.
Isn't that classic?
What did you love about The Love Boat, Beck?
Oh, everything. It was funny, it was beautiful, and it was a family show.
Mm-hmm. And as you get older, you realise your childhood was pretty awesome because time flies pretty quickly. And I wouldn't trade those memories for everything from the Church
exactly
of Jesus
right.
Christ of Latter-day Saints. What an inspiration. Let's go on a cruise together.
You know, I've never seen it.
I'm going next week.
Oh, are you?
Nice.
On a love boat? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more.
Well, I'm taking my son, so there will be love.
Oh, good on you, Beck. Thanks for your call.
Bye. Can I say shout out, theme-wise song, to Sopranos?
Oh,
I mean, that's one of the best. I know we haven't got a grab, but just Google it one time. Such a cool opening theme song for The Sopranos. Favourite TV show.
And it set you up for, you know, a good time.
And that's what they did, didn't they? Good TV shows, you get excited to.
Never skipped it.
Nah, You'd get excited to hear the theme song and then sit down and actually watch the episode of something that you're going to. That's how it's said. Hey, everyone, come to the couch now, sit down. The show's about to start.
And we're going old school with this one. Nick from Moona, what's the best TV show of all time?
Oh, mate, this is going back to my childhood in the 90s. A lot of people might be too young to remember it. Some might be too old to remember it, but Samurai Pizza Cats.
Oh, mate, I do remember.
Yeah, so do I.
This was a great show back in the day, Saban Studios. That used to be probably my favourite TV show, and I'd forgotten all about it until you just said it then.
8 a.m. on a weekday morning before school, mate, with your Weet-Bix, it was brilliant, wasn't it?
It's delightfully wacky.
What it was about. I don't remember a single thing of the storyline. I just remember it was a show everybody loved, man. All the kids loved it.
Well, there were three cats. One was a little bit cheeky, one was a girl, and one was blue. and they could kind of morph into stuff.
That's about as much as I remember, yeah. And there's a pizza parlour as well. Something about pizza, isn't it?
There's always a pizza parlour. Bella in Albury, honey, what's your favourite TV theme?
Fight for Life.
H2O Mermaid.
That's Magic Mermaid music,
that was
isn't it?
Fine.
Did you want to be a mermaid?
I would love to be a mermaid.
Right.
We'll make it happen. I've got gills for you.
You got gills. I did an episode of that TV show, Bella. It was lots of fun. They were really nice girls too.
Yeah.
But I wasn't in the opening credits.
Aww.
Guesty role.
So what was your role? What was the name of your character?
Melanie. Melanie, sweet. I think. Mel, Smell, something like that.
Smelly.
I was a receptionist.
You smell like a fish? Still do. Amanda from Puckapunyal, what's your favourite theme?
Believe it or not, your greatest American hero was
Coke. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, yes.
Isn't it great? FBI agent Bill Maxwell, Ralph Hinckley, just an ordinary guy that had superpowers. It was good, wasn't it?
It's so old, but so
crazy.
Good.
Mm.
I love that.
It reminds me of like Happy Days, like because these were kind of replayed in the 90s all the time. So, Greatest American Hero, for example, they used to play Step by Step. Perfect Strangers, MacGyver.
How did we forget Happy Days? You're right. That's one of the greatest opening themes of all time.
Yeah. Who's the boss? Tony Danza is. Hold me closer, Tony Danza.
Jared in Shepparton, bring us home. What is the best TV show opening theme song?
Don't you open that trap door.
Oh, my God. I remember this. Somewhere in the dark and nasty regions where nobody goes stands an ancient castle.
That's the one. That's the exact one.
But this is the moment, like, where it all hits the...
Don't you open that trap door.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember
You're
this.
You're a fool if you
This is a kids' TV show, wasn't it?
Burke,
like Goosebumps?
Feed me. No, it's called The Trapdoor.
Yeah, but like Goosebumps, like a kids' TV show and it was scary and
getting
you had
ready
to...
for bed and you'd be frightened.
Yes.
Yes.
Creepy.
Help your child learn and grow by freaking them out.
Exactly, guys. Exactly.
Dad and Christy. You are trying at the moment IVF with your beautiful husband, Justin, who's joined us in the studio. We're going to have a big heart-to-heart on the journey.
Well, tomorrow is like the big day for us.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow is the day that... After 2 weeks of doing IVF needles together, as in Justin does a needle for me every morning and I have my thing stimulated to get the eggs, tomorrow's the big day for us where I have to get my egg retrieval done and, honey, you have to give a sample.
I do, yeah.
I mean, you don't have to. If, you know, I could just get someone someone else do it, maybe a tall,
hand.
Dark Italian. Yeah.
I'll give you a go. We're going to need a bucket, though. How is that whole process? Because I imagine it would be awkward.
Let's move on to the next process, I guess. It's as you would expect it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they put you in a room.
You go into a room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I realised that the first time I didn't.
You're in an alleyway. That wasn't even a doctor.
No, you go into helping. A room. Mm. I will tell the story. Like the first time I had to do it, there was someone having a very loud conversation with a delivery driver out the front of the room, which made it very awkward.
And you were just listening into the conversation.
I couldn't avoid the conversation, unfortunately.
Talk about a mood killer, talking about boxes.
Mm. Yeah.
Would you rather
someone like a whisperer of sorts outside the door just whispering sweet nothings to you?
I'd be happy with that. Just a little bedtime story. I don't know.
Do they leave you did I ask you this? Do they leave you magazines or do you take your phone?
No, because
do you
it's not 1986.
Do you reread messages between us or think of your wife?
There's actually a TV in there with access to videos.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's very complicated.
Too hard to use. And you wouldn't want to touch that remote, would you?
Plus, the other thing is, too, when you've got the delivery driver talking outside, you don't want to accidentally have the volume up and put... So it was just a
shamozzle.
Yeah.
And that's interesting to know because I didn't know how it worked for you with that side of stuff.
Yeah.
And, we've heard on air a lot about what I've been going through in terms of what the woman goes through with the needles and having the needle and they hurt and they make you sick. But might have been okay this time around because we've had two failed IVF rounds before. You have been so darling and get up at 4 a.m. with me and, you know, give me my needles and things like that and doing all the measurements and stuff like that and just making sure that it's accurate because what you get taken in your needle varies. So what's that like for you as the person who has to be the partner of the person going through IVF?
I think in all serious note here, it's about being part of the journey and being part of the journey every step of the way. So doing the needles is my way of actually being part of the journey. You know, obviously going to all the appointments as well is being part of the journey because, I don't want you to at any stage through this process feel alone in this process. So it's important to be able to do that. And, although, you know, I almost slept in the first day we were doing the needles, but after that I was pretty good. I was I was up and, you know, on time and doing all that. So, plus I'd like to make sure that you're looked after as well. And, look, let's be honest, you're not great with instructions, so I really couldn't let you leave you alone in order to do it because I don't know what would have happened if that...
And how do you go with the medical jargon too? This is what I struggle with when you're in a situation where you're supposed to know what the doctor is telling you and you just kind of nod at them and go,
there's a lot
I've
of things
never
that
heard
start
of that
with O. And like, that's what I've heard. So there's Overleap and there's old Galatran or Orangutan or I don't know, it's something along those
ovaries,
lines.
Yeah, ovulating.
A lot of O words in there. Not a lot of O face, but a lot of O words. But...
Well, that'll help this afternoon when you give your sample.
He does great. As the question, he actually does great. And thank God for that because I think when you go through IVF and you're the person who has got to absorb the needles and go through the surgeries and stuff like that, sometimes your brain really isn't in the capacity of understanding the practicality involved within the steps. Like, it's because it's emotional because you're thinking to yourself, oh, my God, I have to feel all this pressure of being the person that has to come up with all these eggs inside me. And, you know, and I guess as the person who is wanting to carry the baby, whoever that might be in the relationship, like I'm aware of the fact that Justin can do what he can to help us by giving me the needles and stuff like that. But then you go through that stage of, oh, my God, like what if I let him down because I don't, this doesn't happen, which is not how he feels. But
no.
I think in a relationship for people, because there are those two sides to the growing of the baby via an IVF route, and I guess you kind of sometimes have different
points
of view.
You go into this, you go into an IVF cycle with the expectation of it working. So that's what you want. I mean, you're not going into it with, it might not or whatever. You're going into it with an expectation that you want it to work. That's why you're going through this process. So there is that emotional roller coaster and, you know, it becomes very nerve-wracking, especially after we do the implantation next week. The waiting time then to see whether or not it's worked. And as Christy said, we've gone through it twice before that have failed. And they've been devastating when they haven't worked. But, it's that journey that we go through. And, you know, we're grown-ups and we're jumping into it. We, understand that there is a risk that it may not work. But we are very, we're feeling very good about this. So we'll just,
It's a waiting game. We're all in it together. Well, three of us, aren't we? It's our baby.
If you need me to hold your hand at any stage, Justin, I'm always here for you.
Well, Thursday when I'm downstairs. Just keep an eye out for the delivery driver.
Dan and Christy. Dan and Christy.
What did you leave on the car roof? Because a bride-to-be, the wedding dress, is missing because the partner left it on the roof of a car.
That's right. So engaged couple Lyndall and her fiancé Tom, they're driving around furiously like you do before the big day. You know, you've got a few little last-minute things to do before your wedding day, which can be really stressful. And you're trying to stay, obviously, in the happy place. And this is why I encourage eloping. You don't have to do all this stuff. But anyway, they're getting married and he left her wedding dress on the roof of her car because they were driving to the shopping centre. And bless his heart, like the fiancé Tom, he just didn't want the wedding dress to get crushed. So he's trying to do the right
thing. Just leave it on the roof.
He's like, here, sweetheart, I'll put it up here. But then, you know, he can't win because he forgot to take the wedding dress off the car. And so they've lost it. So she's offering a reward. $500.
That's not bad.
The wedding's not till February next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, worst case scenario, because she probably won't get it back. It's a $2,000 wedding dress, but
couldn't
she'll probably
you go
have to get
back to your like Google Maps or something like that and retrace your steps
I
and see where you went?
They have been doing that, but because the car's like going down a freeway and going down a lot of streets and stuff like that, and because it's quite a chunky item, I think that's the key here with keeping things on the roof of a car. Smaller things, like I said before, you know, my phone didn't fall off your mate Husey.
His wallet stayed. And he went for 15Ks and his wallet was still there.
Yeah, I think it depends
how... Because he drives like a nana.
Yeah, right. Mm. How long you go for. That's the idea, I think, behind it. Good one.
And what about the car? What did you leave on the car roof? Sue from Bendigo, what did you leave on the car roof?
Oh, it wasn't me. It was the police, actually.
What happened?
So, about 5 years ago, my son had a car accident and the police and an ambulance were called. And they breathalyzed him in the back. He was sitting in the back seat of my car and they breathalyzed him, which he came up a zero. Anyway, I followed the ambulance probably about 20 minutes into the hospital. And about 6 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call and it was the police. And they said, "We didn't happen to leave the breathalyzer on the back seat of your car, did we?" Anyway, I went out and I had a look. It wasn't on the back seat of the car. It was on the boot.
So on the boot the whole time?
On the boot the
whole
time.
Had you driven anywhere too?
Yeah, I followed 20 minutes into the hospital from where the accident was, about 20 minutes to get to the hospital. I was still sitting there.
Did you get to keep it?
That's pretty cool. They wanted it back.
No, they did say to me, "Did you make some money last night?" And I said, "No, I didn't have any of the pipes."
Very good story. And Sharon from Claremont, now, what did you leave on the car roof?
It wasn't me. I'm dubbing my hubby in. He left his Blunstons on the top of the car.
Oh, they're worth a fair bit too. They're about $250, aren't they now?
But they're just a really good boot that never dies. And we started to drive away, and there was a driver coming beyond in the other direction who sort of motioned to us. You know, you've got boots on your roof of your car, so they didn't even fall off the car roof, and he didn't actually lose them
because it's steel capped, I think.
I want to
be waiting there.
That's a good ad, Sharon. Let's get some bloodies. John from Howrah, what did you leave on the car roof?
So it wasn't me. A fellow by the name of Scott left a coffee cup on the back step of a fire truck. We went out for a fire. We came back and it was still sitting there somehow.
Yeah.
No way.
It's amazing.
Yeah, no way. We had no idea how it did it, but it stayed. Drove about 15Ks out of town and we got back to the station and we all got, you know, cleaning up. I went, "Scotty, your coffee's still sitting here, mate."
And that's a pretty big roof too, the fire truck. How did it even get up that high?
It wasn't on the roof. It was actually on the step on the back, but it's close enough.
But that's basically the roof. Yeah, and so I guess he had his coffee after a busy day of putting the fire out.
Yeah, we all had to make another one, but he still had his.
It's Dan and Christy.
Yeah, I'm going to give you some fun facts. There's a few facts about Australia that you wouldn't have known, Christy. So this is exciting. Australia is the home to more than 1,500 species of spiders.
Great.
Yeah, there's heaps of them around.
Spiders for me are not the end of the world. Even if I saw like the worst type of spider in my bedroom, whatever, I could live with that.
You're okay with them?
I don't want to touch it. I don't want to hurt it.
You're not here to fornicate with spiders then.
I was exactly about to say the same thing.
What, you got some daddy long legs back there?
No, they're fine. Even a huntsman, like, they look scary. Even when I'm driving a car, I've had a huntsman go on the flaps.
Flap, yeah.
You know what I'm trying to
say? The sun visor.
Thank you.
Is what it's called.
The flap in the car, whatever, that thing. And
spider in the flap.
I can live with that. It's the snakes. It's the snakes for me that I have a problem with.
Well, the funny thing is, Australia's home to 21 of the world's most venomous snakes. So
snakes?
There's only
snakes here, isn't there?
Let me say that again. Australia is home to 21 of the world's 25 most venomous snakes.
See what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. They all want to bite you and they all can kill you.
Eastern brown.
Hate snakes.
Tiger snake.
Yep.
Death adder.
Oh,
Taipan from Gladiator. He'll get ya. And the elusive animal down the front of your husband's pants to the trouser variety.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
It's the rare hooded one. It lurks in your husband's bathing suit area and it swells up twice to its original size. Watch out. It frightens off predators like me.
That's a fun fact. Unfortunately.
Did you know that Australia's world's longest golf course measures up to 1,350 km long and it's in Australia?
Are you sure that's what it really measures, or are they just exaggerating a bit to make it longer?
Might be a trouser snake.
Live on the listener app.
Christy. What have you never tried as an adult? Or what have you never tried? Like, whatever. You can be a teenager and something that you've just never tried. Mm-hmm. Because Malcolm... Well, hang on. His name's not Malcolm.
No, just call him Malcolm. Just Frankie Muniz.
Frankie Muniz. Yeah, who's Malcolm? Him. Everyone knows him as Malcolm and from that TV show Malcolm in the Middle. Mm-hmm. He's on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And he said something that he has never tried at all throughout his life, and we were like, what?
Yeah, he's a jungle trap celebrity, and he revealed this.
Babe, you gotta try. Okay, what haven't you tried that's on the board?
Any of that on that side.
Are you kidding me? You've never had a tomato?
Oh, I've never had a tomato.
Oh,
ever in my whole life.
Oh my God.
Why not? What? Do you not have them in America? We invented tomatoes.
He doesn't eat them. He doesn't want to try
oh,
it.
Oh, you just don't like them? I've never tried it. You I've never had a strawberry. I've never had a tomato.
That's amazing. A strawberry!
He's never had a strawberry!
He's probably never listened to Nikki Webster either, but now he has
kisses.
To. Yeah, because I've been missing them. Imagine not having strawberries. Strawberries are so good.
Strawberries are the best, but how's he never had a tomato? Like, he's right. Tomato, or tomatoes, as they say over there in the States. Like, have you seen that movie, Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe?
I'm going to
take a punt and say you have not. It's like the best movie from the 80s. My mum made me watch it. Anyway, tomatoes are everywhere over there. They love being out in the backyard, growing the tomatoes, harvesting. Like, it's a really big thing.
I've tried tomato. I don't overly like tomato, though. I do like sauce. I don't like tomato sauce, but the consistency of it, it's the googiness of it, it's like, ugh.
You know
what?
It's
a bad consistency.
You need to have my husband's cheese and tomato toasties.
Okay.
Because once you have that, it's the greatest thing ever, a cheese and tomato toasty.
Mm-hmm.
What about bolognese or pasta? Like that lovely...
Oh, if it's mixed in with something.
Really? You're not a tomato guy?
Not a tomato guy.
Well,
my dad is. He loves tomatoes. Loves just tomatoes on toast, that kind of thing. But I just don't like the insides and the consistency of it. It's just a bad consistency, you know?
Harley, my son, won't touch tomato. If he gets a lunch order, which I forgot to do... Just had a moment.
Another thing
live
on the
on
list.
Air, forgot to get his lunch order for tomorrow. He won't touch tomato either. So, like, that's the thing. Some people just throughout their life become an adult and they haven't tried.
Is there
anything.
Any, like, foods that you haven't ever tried?
Seafood. I don't like it. But having said that, I've never really tried much of it. My mum reckons that I hated pavlova until I was about 12 because I refused to try it. And I love pavlova.
Until I was probably about 18, I'd never had any greens. No roughage whatsoever. Hadn't had any lettuce. I was more of a rocket man when it came to Elton John. But I didn't like the green stuff. For whatever reason, spinach, didn't like it. But then as an 18-year-old, I just started eating it. I'm like, oh, this isn't too bad.
Yeah, you get to a point where you have to look after yourself and you realise it actually does taste good. And I didn't eat olives, though, till I was early 20s. And that was only because I was going out with a guy at the time who was like, come around to my house, let me make you a cheese platter and pour some wine. I was like, yeah, all right. Put some olives out. And so
you like them?
I like them. I love an olive, but I didn't try one until I was about 23 years old. So I get the whole not trying things until later in life, but... Malcolm never having a strawberry, not once his entire life, or a tomato. Like, don't you have to know you don't like something before you don't eat it, right?
Well, you revealed it. There's a lot of foods he hasn't tried. Because, I mean, he's a child actor too, so he could have anything he wants, really. So, obviously, never prepared a tomato or a straw.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Bizarre. What about all the pizza? They always ate pizza or Malcolm in the middle.
Surely there would be tomato on that.
Yeah, of course
it's
there
shocking.
Would be.
What a freak.
But if you're listening, Frankie, come on the show on Dan and Christy.
Yeah, so Malcolm in the Middle.
We want to get your calls on air. As an adult or even a young person, however old you are, what is something that you've never tried before in your life?
Paige from Shepparton, what have you never tried?
Oysters.
Fair enough. I don't like them. My brother loves them. He froths over oysters, but it's just the yuckiness of
They're disgusting.
Yeah, they are disgusting.
The gooey, it looks like snot. Nah. I'm not going there.
Did you say dill? Dill. Dilly. As in dill. The herb. Dill on the oyster.
Are we having Kilpatrick?
Well, they say oysters are an aphrodisiac, right?
Oh, yeah. Let's put on some Barry White and eat some oysters, ladies and gents.
Amber in Bendigo, hun, what's something that you have never tried?
I've never had fish.
Oh, fish just in general? Or any type of fish or just no fish?
Just fish in general.
Yeah, okay. You just don't like the look of it?
No, I used to fish with my dad, and I used to gut it.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
That put me off, so, yeah, I won't try anything.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I don't like fishing when you catch the fish and then even if you throw it back, the poor little fishy. Hubby Justin does not like me coming fishing with him because of me going, oh, poor fishes.
I make out with the fish. Yes. I do a Rex Hunt. I kiss it and I throw it back.
Yeah.
I think if you prepare any food, though, like if you had to gut it, you would probably never, ever do it ever again, I don't reckon. Kylie from Mornington, what have you never tried?
Vegemite.
Ooh, you're not a happy little Vegemite, not a rose in every cheek.
But haven't you heard the song Land Down Under by Men at Work? It's all about Vegemite sandwich. He just smiled. It's the best song ever. And Vegemite is phenomenal.
Oh, I don't know. The smell's pretty bad.
Yeah, it doesn't speak my language. I'm a Promite guy. I like that kind of yeast, the vitamin B stuff.
You were... Did you just say yeast?
Yes, I'm in a band called Yeast 17.
Stefan Wodonga, what, hun, have you never tried?
I have never tried coffee.
Oh, never even touched it.
I've smelt it, and that's as far as I've got.
Yeah.
You've never, ever, ever had coffee go into your mouth, like past your lips. You've never had a sip. Are you serious, Steph? How do you live?
Well, I don't know, but coffee. I was pregnant with my daughter when I was working at a cafe, and ever since then, I can't be around it.
Mm. Nah, okay. So did you drink it before you got pregnant, or is this something that you just were never interested in?
Never interested in.
I think there's a lot of people out there. Like, as soon as we got into breakfast radio, that's when I started drinking coffee. I'm like, I'm not awake.
That's the thing. Like, I think we drink coffee and I rely on coffee.
Religiously.
But even in my pregnancies, I'd have one, and that was a stretch for me having to cut back. But I had a partner who wouldn't touch coffee and only drank a lot of green tea instead. Do you do, like, the herbal teas?
I don't drink any hot drinks.
No hot drinks?
Really?
Steph, this is a revelation.
I do eat a lot. So I make it up in other ways. Dan and Christy.
Dan and Christy. Research has shown that young drivers who share the family car are less likely to crash than those who drive their own car. So parents, don't buy your kids a car is the message here. But Professor Rebecca Ivers from University of New South Wales joins us to talk about this. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning.
Now, tell us about this. So young drivers are 30% greater risk of crashing in their first year if they drive their own car. That's fascinating.
That's right. And it's actually the statistic gets even worse if you look at serious crashes, you know, that involve hospitalisation and death. In the first 6 months of driving, we found that drivers in their own car had a 15 times increased risk of crash compared to those who are driving the family car. So it does drop off pretty quickly over the first few years of driving, that increased risk, but it's pretty scary, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Professor, and is this because the idea behind this extensive study is that young kids, well, so 17, 18, when you go out and get your P's, etc., or even on your L's learning, just take less risks on the road if they are borrowing the family car? You know, there's all that responsibility that comes with looking after mum or dad's car or their carer's car. Is that a factor as well?
Yeah, no, we think that could be the case. I think probably you're driving a safer car if you're driving the family car, because that's more likely to be the more expensive one, more recent model with more safety features. So we know that stops you from getting in a crash and surviving a crash, but probably also the monitoring that mum and dad do of you if you're driving their car, and that keeps you safe.
So you reckon a family car is safer for families out there? What is the advice for parents?
Well, look, you don't want to stop buying. I mean, I wouldn't actually go so far as saying don't buy your kid a car, but really, if a young person needs a car for educational work, make sure you get the safest car you possibly can. If possible, give them your car. So if your car's the safest one, let them drive that and you drive the second-hand one that might not be as safe, because your safety risk is, you're less likely to crash. So that's one thing. The other thing is, you know, make sure that you do keep an eye on what they're doing. You have conversations about where they're going. For someone in the first 6 to 12 months of driving, they need to be really cautious as they build up experience. So no road trips with all of their mates.
Yeah.
You know, restrict driving at night, driving in the rain, driving in hazardous conditions. You know, you don't want them going on unknown roads with a carload of people in their first few months of driving, because we know, research tells us, that's actually a really dangerous thing to do.
Oh, absolutely, Professor. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I remember when I was young, 17, 18, and you think you're invincible on the roads. And shout out to all the kids out there that are cautious drivers. I was one of them. But you just think that you're invincible, don't you? You get your license, you get your friends in the car, you're blasting the music, and it's such a dangerous scenario where things can change at the drop of a hat. But I do remember a moment when I was in my parents' car, and interestingly, as you say, for instance, one of the rules with my family car was we weren't allowed to have, my mum just wouldn't let let me pick up my girlfriends. She was like, no, I don't want the mess in the car.
I'll pick up your girlfriends. My clapped out Suzuki Baleno.
Exactly. So there's all that too, isn't there, Professor?
Oh, absolutely. And I was the same with my kids. I was like, no, you can drive. You can have one passenger and you've got to be home by 10 o'clock and you need to text me when you're leaving. I want to know when you're home. So, you know, I think it's, but they're not, it's just sensible. It's, we know the research tells us for young drivers, they are at really greatly increased risk of crash in that period. So you're just trying to keep them safe. And you all know, there's terrible stories where you have multiple carloads of kids being killed. So, you know, no one wants that to happen. So it's about just saying, let's keep safe. These are the rules. Parents negotiating with their kids about what they can and can't do when they've got the car, whether it's their own car or mum and dad's car. But safe cars and a bit of monitoring.
Exactly right. Well said. And a car is from getting from A to B safely. That's what it's about. It's not about fiddling with the radio. And to kids out there driving sensibly, well done. Parents out there, good reason to save money. The kids do not need a new car. But thank you so much for joining us on the show. Professor Rebecca Ivers from University of New South Wales, we really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Dan and Christy. It's Dan and Christy. Shout out for a handout.
It is shout out for a handout time where we shine a light on all things charity. And this is a tragic and sad event because a Bendigo family, a young girl has passed away. She's only 28 years young. She's left behind three kids, 10 and under two. And a GoFundMe has been put out there on the internet. So if you look up Bree Sanders, and it's with permission of Brianna's loved ones, they're under financial stress in this saddened time, and it's a horrible story, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. We got a message on our Dan and Christy page, and we really do encourage you to get in touch with us. Like, that's what we're here for. This is exactly what this segment, Shout Out for a Handout, is for. Maybe you have a friend going through something horrific, or there's a GoFundMe, or just something that you need support with, and this is exactly what Shade Gibson did. She got in touch with us about the tragic loss of a dear friend, Bree. Bree, a mum, has three kids, had a beautiful, loving partner, and has tragically lost her life at the age of 28 years old.
And it's a massive impact financially, emotionally. The family is grieving, and she joins us right now. Shade Gibson, how long have you known Bree for?
Yeah, I've known her all teenage years. We hung out, and their family even took me and my mum in when we were homeless. And they're a beautiful family.
So it was pretty unexpected. I mean, she's only 28, isn't she?
Yeah, only 28. It's really came out of nowhere, really.
Well, we got this beautiful message on our Dan and Christy page, and it said you wanted to raise some money and awareness for this beautiful Bendigo family. A young girl passed away last week unexpectedly. She was only 28. She left behind three kids, 10 and under. Her youngest five beat cancer only last year in October. Now her partner and mum have had to stop work and take care of the kids, etc. I mean, this is horrific, Shade. Tell us all about what's happened.
Like I said, it's just out of nowhere, so everyone's had to stop work and look after these kids because it's a shock to everyone. So on top of not working, they've got to organise a funeral. That's tomorrow. They've had to it's just a massive impact on them, like financially and emotionally. So I'm just wanting the community's help to raise the money and just some support for this family.
In terms of like how the family is coping at the moment, tell us how, I mean, it must just be horrific.
Yeah, they've been pretty quiet. I've kind of left them alone to grieve, but I've reached out and said that I'm messaging anyone I can and news places and radio stations, posted on all the pages just to try and make them some money and look after these kids because they can't work and I highly doubt the kids are at school.
I guess you're reaching out to everyone. How has the community kind of rallied together?
Oh, it's been amazing. On the Bendigo sale sites and stuff, people have donated $10 here, $20 here. I've had a lot of people reach out and see if they can organise a fundraiser. Some news places have gotten back to me too, Win News Bendigo, so I hope they'll hear from them. And yeah, I'm just reaching out to anyone I can.
Well, that's the right thing to do, Shade. You need to get the community to rally behind. And just going back to the message that you sent us, tell us how you said that your friend, she looked after you when you were homeless and, you know, sounded like an incredible person to lose your life at only 28 with three kids. Like, can't even imagine what that was like. What did your friend mean to you?
Oh, she meant the world. We grew up together, basically. Like, she was just a beautiful person. Her kids were everything. We kind of grew apart a bit when we had kids, but kept in touch. But through our teenage years, we were just a bit of rat bags, but we were just rat bags together. Like, she was just amazing. She's one of the friends that I've never had a fight with. Like, she's just a beautiful person.
And tell us about your favourite memory of Bree.
Oh, so many. Yeah, probably just living with her. Like, she was kind of like the mum of the group. Like, she just looked after everyone and yelled at people if they gave you any crap. Yeah, she was kind of like the boss of the house. She was, you know, she gave me a lot of confidence because I was a bit of a shy person, and she just didn't care about anyone's opinions, and she was just the most confident, happy, beautiful person.
Can't even imagine losing your partner, especially when there's children involved. How's Bree's partner coping now? You said that they have to stop. He has to stop work.
Yeah, well, I could only imagine. Like I said, I haven't reached out because I don't really. I just want to give him their space at this time. But I could only imagine how he's coping. Like, look at after the kids, plus while trying to breathe yourself, it would be horrible.
Well, it is horrible. It's a tragic situation, but thank you so much, Shade, and we'll put up all the links on the Dan and Christy page, but best of luck raising for money for Bree's family and especially her kids and her loved ones too.
Thank you so much, guys.
Macca's new surprise fries. Peel any medium or large fries for a chance to find a prize. That was the Dan and Christy podcast. Dan and Christy!